Welcome back to the 2 o'clock hour of Inside Track. Frank Antonori are here at the KVOI studios in Tucson, Arizona. A quick shout out for our great Inside Track supporters, Eric Rudin at Essential Pest, Jamie and Craig at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus, Mike Emery's Perfection Auto Works, and of course, my broadcast partner's company, Wilkinson Wealth Management. We support each of these locally owned businesses, so should you. Each of our sponsors support Inside Track because they believe in helping spread conservative ideas and American values. Help them keep us on the air by supporting them. Please let them know you heard about their businesses on Inside Track. This portion of Inside Track is brought to you by my broadcast partner, Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management, and he does a great job for my sister and myself. Now, before we get going, I want to... Oh, do we have Randy on the line, Tom? Oh, great. Okay, we're going to go right to Randy Pullen. Randy, how are you?
I am just fine, Bruce. How are you doing?
Doing great, and guess who's here with us? Frank Antonori.
Yeah. Good to talk to you again, Randy. Good talking to you.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us. We want to talk about the election and where you think things are at. How do you think the election is going here in Arizona? What do you hear and what are your thoughts at this moment?
Well, I hear a lot, and I talk to a lot of data analysts as well as, you know, people in the political side as well. So I hear all kinds of things that are going on. And I think what you've seen here in Arizona, I'm talking about the top of the ticket now, former President Trump. 2 weeks ago, it was kind of like a dead heat. And now the people I'm speaking to, they're thinking it's more 1 to 3 points in Trump's favor. Quite frankly, I think Trump's going to win by 5 or 6 points in Arizona.
Wow.
And that's just my opinion from years and years and years of having done this and seeing how waves come and go. And I think we're on a wave.
So I don't want to get you in trouble up in Maricopa County, but our mutual friend Chuck Coughlin has been running a bunch of polls. And I don't know who in the heck he's been talking with.
The Sith Lord of Arizona politics is what I call Chuck.
I mean, yeah. He has gone to the dark side,
yep.
but his polling really seems to be like, you know, political disinformation for the masses, humping up Democrat stuff and this business on 140 is just, you know, unbelievable.
Right. Yeah. It's, in other words, he's really pushing the 140. That's his deal. And I don't know if you've already spoke about that on the show or not, but.
Happy to get your thoughts on it.
That would change our entire election system. And for those who maybe don't know what it is, it basically puts us on the Alaska plan, which essentially does away with party primaries and just has a general primary where every name is on it, Republican, Democrat, Green Party, Independents, whoever wants to be on it, they'll be on the primary ballot. And then the two that do the best on that will go to the general election. So, and the idea is, well, the party, what they argue is the parties have taken control of our electoral system, and we need to get back to letting everybody have a say in the elections. And it just isn't going to work that way. We've already seen it, what happened in Alaska. And not only that, but again, as soon as the system changes, well, then all the parties will change the way they deal with the system. Okay, so, so Democrats will want to have 5 Republicans on in the primary so that none of them get enough votes to move to the general election, you know, or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, so,
well, I was going to say, I see it as a lobbyist's wet dream. Is what I see this as, because you can bring in a little bit of money now and change the outcome of an election with this type of system. It's not, you know, everybody cries about money in politics. This is going to open the door to money like you have never seen, because now when you have this system, you can manipulate it in the direction that you want. So the biggest donors will be able to manipulate this system.
Right. Exactly.
And isn't it, the way this thing's set up, Randy, isn't it likely there's going to be further manipulation on the interpretation of what 140, you know, how it's actually implemented itself?
Absolutely. It's a very long confusing proposition. There will be a lot of court cases, legal things going on over that, and it's just going to be a political disaster is what it's going to be.
I saw Chuck Coughlin on, was with Fox News 10 in Phoenix with former Supreme Court Justice Gould arguing this, and it was just a phenomenal thing to watch as Gould dissected Coughlin's argument, and Coughlin continued to get angrier and angrier and testier and testier. He kept talking over the judge, you know, as the judge shot down all of his arguments.
And Andy's a pretty cool character.
Yeah.
He doesn't rile up very easily.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, and it was just amazing to watch the frustration that Coughlin had, because Gould was making those exact same arguments that this is going to allow such manipulation of the system. People don't know and don't realize the damage that this caused in states like Alaska and California, and how the residents there now hate the system, and they can't stand it. They can't fix it.
And they're trying to get away with it.
It's just a disaster, and we don't need that here. I mean, our mistake was opening our primaries up in the beginning.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, that was the biggest mistake. And to open it up even more now with this, it would be even more disastrous.
Randy and I have talked ad nauseum about some of the changes made at the turn of the 21st century through the ballot and proposition process, and this is really one of them. And it just seems like that the things are going crazy. Randy, what do you hear from the Democrats, from the party officials? Do they like 140?
Well, they don't like it. They don't dislike it.
They'll try to figure out how to manipulate it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what it'll turn out. And so it'll change our entire system. And at the end of the day, as we've seen in other states, the voters are going to be unhappy with it.
What I saw in the legislature when I was up there is when you have a clear majority, or you have what's a red versus blue scenario, the lobbyists hate that because they know that one side is locked in and the other side is locked in. They want it to be as messy and as purpley, if you want to call it, as you can imagine. And what people don't realize, it may sound good to the average voter to have that, but they think it's bipartisan. What it's not, bipartisan. What it does is when you have these small minorities and small majorities in the legislature, lobbyists can come in and manipulate the system and get that one or two little votes that they need to push something through for their client. They flip one or two votes, and that's why I see this as the lobbyist wet dream, this problem 40, because that's all this is going to be about, is the ability of big money to manipulate things in the elections and in the legislature to get what they want through. And so the Coughlin, people are going to suffer.
So Coughlin's going to make a ton of money.
Yes.
He's going to make a ton of money on this.
Of course.
And he's going to make even more money when the thing, or if the thing passes and gets done the way he'd like to see it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And Frank and Bruce, you know, nothing happens by accident in politics, right?
No.
We don't believe in coincidences, do we, Randy? We've talked about that a few times over the years.
Exactly.
You know, from what I understand, he's already received something like $4 million to run this Yes on 140.
They are playing that commercial with that folksy-sounding guy every 30 seconds.
Yeah, he has received this. Already his firm has received a significant amount of money. You know, so he's benefited largely already about this. And God, if it were to pass, it would be just, you know, open your checkbook. You know, I can get whatever I want through the legislature now because I created this mess.
Well, you know, Coughlin's kind of been on the outside here for the last few years. You know, Senator McCain was his guy,
right?
And that's pretty much what drove everything, and that all kind of came to an end. And so he has to reset his business, and this resets it for him.
New business planning. So let's get back to the 2024 election. You believe Trump probably has a larger lead than what some of the polls are showing, I tend to agree with you there. Let's talk about the Kerry Lake election and whether there's enough trend.
Let's talk about,
go ahead,
about what's left out in the polling, because what I look at, polls are important. You look at them, but as the election progresses, as you know, it's early voting by mail here in Arizona. You have to start looking at who's registered to vote, how many people have ballots, how many people have returned their ballots, and you start looking into this. And what you see across Arizona is, and this is as of October 31st, Republicans had almost 300,000 more registered voters than the Democrats. Okay. And as far as returns are right now, it's like over 175,000 more Republicans have returned their early ballots than Democrats have. And that says a lot. That shows you that it's a wave that's coming through the system. And that's really what's moving things. And that's a good thing for Lake as well. You can see what's happened to Lake's number in the polls over the last few weeks. I mean, it's gotten much tighter, and some polls are even showing that it's a toss-up now. So it's a competitive race. A month ago, it didn't look like it.
So I saw Rasmussen on Fox Business last week. He was on, and he talked about the sampling errors that pollsters are seeing.
Oh, gosh.
And he said that generally Republican voters tend not to like to do polls. So he says there's automatically a 5-point degradation from Republican response. And he says on the Democratic side, they tend to lie a lot on who they're voting for when they see when they talk to a pollster. There's this distrust of pollsters to begin with. So he went back and looked at the data over the last 12 election cycles, and he said statistically, just doing a simple little statistical analysis, Democrats were oversampled or over weighted 4 to 6%. So if you see a poll that shows Biden up in 2012 by 6, he actually only won by 1. In that election, and you know, because there's this four to six.
And Hillary was up by 4 points, and she lost. Right,
right.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm saying he's going to win by 5 or 6 here in Arizona, because the polls are saying it's 2 or 3. So, and that's why I'm thinking it's going to be a little bit higher than what they're polling.
And so obviously this is not a national election. It's state by state by state. Pennsylvania is considered to be, you know, the major target right now. It seems that there, at least by my observation, is a similar sort of a situation. If you look at Pennsylvania in 2016, the excitement about Hillary Clinton was very low. I was inside Center City, Philadelphia, 2 weeks before the election, and I only saw two pieces of advertising, one on a car and one on a union building, that had her name at all. And everywhere I traveled in Northeast Pennsylvania, there were Trump signs everywhere, some of them handmade. It looked like they were made by, you know, somebody's fifth grade kid. Does it seem as though the excitement about Harris, the more she talks, the more she interacts or doesn't interact or doesn't perform well, that the excitement about her is diminishing?
Well, yeah, it's no longer the moment of joy, right? Now it's attack, attack, attack. Call Trump a fascist, call him a Nazi, call him Hitler, all these things. That's now their entire campaign, what it's based on. And it's... And then they change again. Trump will say one thing and they'll completely recast it as if he said something totally different from what he actually said.
Like the Cheney thing. That is so ridiculous.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Liz Cheney, it was very clear, who was saying that she likes to send our boys off to war, but she's never been in a war. And how would she feel when she was on the battlefield and had 9 guns pointed at her, you know?
Yeah. I know that feeling.
You know, they're trying to, yeah, again, it's...
or more.
I've had more than 9 guns pointed at me. So, yeah. It's not a fun thing. And that's all he was trying to say. He was saying, what if she had to be that kid, you know, sitting in that battlefield in Iraq now with all these, you know, Fedayeen fighters and all these Iraq Baathist loyalists shooting at this kid in Fallujah. You know, like you're in Fallujah now and everything, every window...
And they still are today.
Yeah, every window in that town had a gun in it back then. You know, that's what he was trying to make that point to her. And they just totally spun it around that he was implying that, you know, people should go out and shoot her. It was ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, and so if you look at the polling across the country, and different pollsters say different things, but let's just say for a moment it's dead even. And knowing the way that the polls are run, that means that his polling is probably 3 points under
Yeah.
What it really is.
So my folks live in Pennsylvania. I was born and raised up there, and I've been talking to my dad and, you know, my mom, and what they told me is they've been seeing a unique thing, and this is the sort of the way I think Pennsylvania is going to come out for Trump, is the Biden administration made a huge mistake a couple of years ago when they went after a Quaker farmer outside Philadelphia, and they shut down his farm because he was selling unpasteurized milk and butter and all this other stuff. And they went out and they raked this poor farmer over the coals, and it woke up the Quaker community. Somebody, you know, basically went out and they've gotten 150,000 Quakers in Pennsylvania to register to vote for the first time.
So that was the major source of the big increase in Republican registration
they got
there?
All these Quakers outside Philly that are furious with the federal government coming in and just raking this poor farmer. They woke up this sleeping giant. The Quakers had never been involved in politics in Pennsylvania. All of a sudden now they've got 150,000 of them to go out and register to vote.
Right.
I mean, that is not showing up in any polling anywhere because they don't have phones.
Right. So, well, and then, you know, and then here in Arizona and other states where we're getting all these illegals that are coming in, and this is nothing new. I mean, we've had this discussion, Bruce, many times over a couple decades here. When I was chairman of the party, I used to meet with the conservative blacks and conservative Latinos about, you know, their thoughts on all this kind of stuff. And it was very clear that for blue-collar workers, all these illegals come in, they're the ones that are the most impacted by it. Okay? That's where the problem is in the system, and they get frustrated with it. And I'm not going to get into details, but I'm pretty familiar with some door-knocking that's been going on in our Latino communities here in Phoenix. And they're getting a very positive response in terms of voting for Trump in this election, probably at a higher level than we've ever seen before. And when you start thinking about that here's all these voters that typically don't vote or vote Democrat, now they're going to be voting Republican. That's huge.
And on top of that, the black vote, particularly amongst black males.
Yes.
Because if there's any population demographic that's been marginalized is black males.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's why
you're seeing the shift going on.
Yeah, you're seeing that barbershop vote, they're calling it, right? Where the black barbershops, mostly males, mostly young, that go in and they're in these barbershops and in New York City, you know, in Atlanta, Georgia, and they're all voting for Trump.
Now, I don't know who those two guys were in the commercial that played over and over during the World Series, but there was like two, they look like, you know, talk show guys, and it's like, you know, and they want us to support, you know, these men dressing up as girls and girls, you know, pretending and blah, blah, blah. I mean, if my masculinity means anything, I am not going to vote for Kamala Harris if this is what she believes in.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. I saw that commercial. That's the Trump is for us, but she's for they, them.
Right.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I think that's a great ad.
Great ad. Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's when this election is over, we'll have to have a little discussion again because Republicans are going to have a wave here, and they're going to do really well across the country as well as here in maybe Lake might even win her Senate race here. And so I think that the progressives are going to have to, and the Democrats are going to have to decide what the heck they're going to do because they keep moving in the progressive socialist direction. There'll be less and less support for their party because that's not what Americans are all about. They're all about small businesses. They're all about capitalism. They're all about that. And that's not what socialism is about.
Yeah, that's
what they're learning. They're starting to learn this now.
It comes down to people just want to keep government out of their back pocket, and they want to keep government out of their everyday life. And if you start interfering in people's everyday life and start taking money out of their pocket, you're on a losing strategy.
Exactly.
So I'll read you a couple of headlines just for in the last couple of days. From Wall Street Journal, a vote for Harris endorses a wholesale restructuring of SCOTUS and breaking the Senate filibuster rule to pass
it. Absolutely.
Reason Magazine.
Absolutely.
British man convicted.
Well, but it takes the Senate. But it takes the Senate as well to do that. So she has to have the Senate grasp as well. Okay.
Reason magazine: British man convicted of criminal charges for praying silently near abortion clinic. So, I would ask this question: How effective is the Bill of Rights on voters' minds in this election? Is it?
Well, I don't know if it's directly in their minds, but it's in the back of their minds. They're thinking about, they don't want more government in their life. They want less government and more family, more friends, more faith. That's what matters most of the time for most of us. And it's there. It's definitely in their thought process. And you can see it across to Arizona. You know, we have some very, very important Senate races coming up here, state legislature in Arizona, which are going to make a big difference in how our state operates. And Frank is, I'm sure, is very aware of this. And, you know, whether it's LD2 with the Shauna Bullock, or, I mean, we can go down the list. LD4, Karen Warner has a good shot at winning that seat from Marsh. 13? That's what, Chandler, Gilbert, that's Mesnard. There's a little bit of fight there, but I think he's going to hold on to it. 16, and that's kind of down in your area there, Bruce. That's Pinal and kind of West Tucson a little bit there. And that's Shope's district, and I think he's going to do okay there. And then we come down to the one that is kind of really up in the air. That's LD17, Leach, and that's north and east of Tucson. So that's down in your area as
well.
They
spent a ton of money on that election. And Kevin Volk, John McClain, who is his opponent in that election, cannot be. He is the most polar opposite from anybody who's ever run in that neck of the woods.
And what a lot of people don't understand in LD17 is they could flip the legislature to the Democrats, at least the Senate, and they don't. And there's this infighting within the party right now because of the sour grapes out of the primary there. Mm-hmm. And what they don't realize is they could be the ones, their little anti-Leach efforts could lead to basically a Democrat legislature who will immediately start taking everything that we've done over the last 20 years away from us in this state. They'll take away constitutional carry. They'll expand abortion like you would not believe. They will manipulate Prop 140, because the legislature can manipulate the daylights out of that.
Right.
All that crazy stuff that we staved off for the last 20 years will now be on the front of every bill going up to this Democrat governor. They will see this opportunity, and for the next 2 years, they will ram all sorts of crazy stuff down our
throat. She'll be signing bills like a fanatic.
Exactly. And it's all because of that little cranky pants up there that you know, lost in the primary trying to convince people not to vote for Leach. And it'll be catastrophic for the state.
And it's a very selfish... Who does Wozzeck work for now?
Turning Point.
She works for Turning Point Action.
Yep.
So we're talking about, again, Turning Point, Charlie Kirk. We're talking, Boyer. I mean, they're all letting her do this stuff when they should have been doing just the opposite. They should have been supporting him, working, helping him get elected so that we maintain a Republican Senate.
What's their angle?
I think we're okay in the House. I think we'll be all right in the House. I think.
What's their angle, Randy?
Well, I think that if nothing happens by accident, right, Bruce? So if we don't hold the Senate, okay, then that means that shifts everything around. And then all of a sudden, our new Republican National Committee man will have a lot of power there, won't he?
Yes, he will.
And that's part of the plan, I would say. And, it's very frustrating. We need to work together as a team, all together, supporting our candidates, getting them elected, not trying to defeat them.
Yeah, the fight's in the primary, and then after the primary, I mean, I was talking to Bruce before we came on the show that I remember the days again when, you know, I've run and I've lost, and I've immediately picked up the phone. I mean, the first time I ran, I called Randy Graff literally 15 minutes after the race was called and congratulated him on winning. And then the same thing with Jesse Kelly. Mm-hmm. When Jesse, I mean, that doesn't happen no more. We actually have Republicans losing primaries that now endorse the general election opponent. of the guy they ran against in the primary. That's what's happening in my race. The three gals that I beat in the primary all are endorsing my opponent in the general election. And it's just, I don't know what's going on, Randy. What happened to the unity that we used to have after these primaries? I mean, we'd battle it out. That's what primaries are for. But after the primary, we'd come together. Now we have this destroy, blow it up mentality of these.
It is.
This small number. And it's a small number. It's like 10% or less of the party.
But they cause lots of stuff.
Yeah, they cause a lot of damage.
Yes, they do. And that all has to get worked out after this election. Come January, when the party reorganizes, that all has to get worked out. So that's kind of like the next big political struggle coming up on our.
Well, they definitely shouldn't be allowed to be precinct committeemen or state committeemen. That's for sure. If they've openly endorsed the opponent of our Republican nominees, I mean, that's or thwarted them. I mean, that's something we really got to look at as a party.
I agree.
Randy, before we let you go, and I really do appreciate the time you're spending with us. I know you've got a busy afternoon recreating.
No, I'm not recreating, actually.
Okay. Well, we're having a good time. So talk about the impact within the last week. Trump in a McDonald's fry area, and Trump in a trash collector's yellow safety vest, and what that could possibly mean in this election, because it sure seems to have stirred a lot of popular support for the former president, don't you think?
I think it has. I think it's been, again, it's you have to, you know, first of all, who's most impacted? Who works at McDonald's? Who works in trucks?
Not Kamala Harris.
Garbage and stuff. No, we're talking about blue-collar workers, okay, who do this kind of work, and they're the ones the Democrats are chastising. And then Trump is taking advantage of it. He's showing that how he feels about it. He's always felt that way. Going back to, you know, when he ran his businesses, people liked working for him. Okay, because he did take care of them, he did look after them, and that kind of stuff. And that's what our political leadership should be doing. They should be worrying about us, not about themselves. Or like Nancy Pelosi now, who's worth $200 million. It was worth nothing when she got started in Congress. So again, it just comes back to, I think it's played very well to him, and I think he. Did it? I had to laugh. I mean, him showing up in a garbage truck. I mean, what a brilliant thing to do.
Yeah,
really.
Randy Pollin, former AZGOP chair, former treasurer of the RNC. Thanks very much for joining us today. Great analysis. We'll talk after the election.
Yes, we will. Thank you.
Take
Appreciate
care.
It.
You bet.
God
All right.
bless.
We're gonna go ahead and take a quick break, listen to some advertisements for our great supporters. No channel flipping. Frank and I will be right back to wrap up the show.
Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up with science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate bugs, termites, weeds, and more.
No spray cans and lighters?
None of that. Only solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh. Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit EssentialPest.com.
Oh, man, I'm so glad I found this babe at the gym. You know what? I got her wrapped around my little finger.
Look at this car.
Wow, I really scored with this hunk. I'm in heaven. This guy's a keeper.
No way! I can't believe this. It's my everything. It's my life, man. It's my car.
Wait a minute. Man.
What's going on?
You're a loser.
Wait a minute.
Let me out of this car. loser.
Hey, baby, don't do this to me. Come on, I'll get the car fixed. Come on, honey, where you going? I'll take it to Perfection Auto Works. Man, you did it again.
People that have their car serviced at Perfection Auto Works never strike out. Avoid a breakdown disaster with our free 26-point inspection. Belts, brakes, tires, complete auto repair. Call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
My main goal is to make everything easy for the customer, whether every decision I make in terms of business is, will this make sense for the customer, and is this make it easier for the customer to come and look at material, how the yard is organized, what material we cover, what material we offer, anything like that.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. Some advisors say they do everything. Take that with a grain of salt. In fact, take it with a whole salt mine. We specialize in guiding you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. We refer you to other services so that we have no conflicts of interest. Reach us at 777-1911. That's 777-1911 or WilkinsonWealthMGMT.com.
Okay. Welcome back to Inside Track. Frank and I wrap up the show today. I want to urge you to show up Tuesday and vote for all of our state Republicans running for federal and state offices. And I especially want to appeal to Christians, Jews, and gun owners who may not have voted for either Donald Trump or Kerry Lake in prior elections. I ask you the following. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? If not, get to the polls. Vote for results. Vote for a secure nation and a healthy economy. Vote for what's best for you, your family, your community. Don't be fooled by those who have so little regard for us that they refer to all of us as deplorables, garbage, Bible thumpers, fascists and insurrectionists, or candidates who have made one empty promise after another and flip-flopped on issues important to all of us. Unless we make a change that supports our real American ideals, we're going to have another 4 years led by a national leader who was never vetted, even by her own party, and has been failing up for the past 4 years, who will surely wreck our way of life and make our nation vulnerable to our enemies, erode our rights, and become the fourth term of Barack Obama. Frank,
she epitomizes the fake it till you make it world, I'll tell you. That's all she's about. She's fake it till you make it, and she's been faking it all these years, and she's faking it now, and I think people are seeing that. She's such a phony.
Well, and the former president talks about policies, he talks about issues, and she's talking in generalities and talking about, you know, her goals and her ambitions. What's she been doing for the last 3.5 years? Yeah. She still can't explain that. She said, well, she wouldn't change anything.
She can't carry out a coherent policy conversation with anybody. That's why she wouldn't go on Joe Rogan, because she watched the 3 hours of, I don't know if it was three hours. It was a long time. Trump was on there with him. You know, she saw the kinds of questions that Rogan was asking Trump, and she knew she couldn't answer those questions.
Right.
That's why she didn't go on.
Right.
The whole reason she didn't go. And then the same thing with CNN, you know, where they admitted basically that they have the questions planned in advance.
Right.
That one lady got up and said, hey, are we going to be able to ask questions? And that Shriver, Maria Shriver says, oh, no, we already have that all planned out. You know, the questions have been selected. She's so phony. Everything is fed to her, you know, by her party handlers. Like you said, the Obamas and everybody else, the handlers are telling her everything to say, everything to do, and they're keeping her away from anybody that can tease that out. The Bret Baier interview was just remarkable that they let that happen.
Right.
I mean, and she said, well, Bret, we know, you know what we're talking about here. And Bret's like, actually,
no,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Like Donald Trump in the debate with Joe Biden. Yeah. I don't know what he's talking about. Okay. I don't even think he knows what he's talking about.
Exactly. It's just astonishing that the voters, you know, I give credit to the American voter. I think they've seen that they've been fed such crap by the mainstream media over the years. And I mean, if you saw that New York Times story, and then, of course, John Kerry crying that the First Amendment gets in our way, you know, of everything. This is exactly what's happened. The mainstream media is freaking out now because there's so much alternative sources out there for news and information. The American electorate is now shopping the information superhighway for information, and they're no longer going to CNN and CBS and ABC to get their news. They're getting it from guys like Joe Rogan and these other guys.
That's a wonderful point that you've made. Conservatives have talked for years about how the media is against us and how they've ganged up in all the different legacy networks and newspapers and what have you. But does it really matter as much today in 2024 as even it did in 2016, when people are able to get their news and their commentary from so many different sources?
Yeah, when Stephen Colbert actually said that CNN was a credible news source, and his entire audience laughed when he said that. That shows you how much stuff has changed in the last few years. And information is everywhere now. I mean, there's so many different apps out there. There's all these guys podcasting, right? Tim Pool and all the other.
Isn't it all disinformation, Frank?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the Dems have been controlling the monopoly of information for so long. And let's be honest. Here's the Democratic strategy. Ignorance breeds compliance.
Right.
If they keep you stupid and the only information you get is what they feed to you, right, then all the stuff that went down with COVID, right? We're finding out all of that was BS now. All of that was totally incorrect. We're finding out that the vaccine does not protect you, that it actually allows you to spread the virus more than people that weren't vaccinated, right? That's the data that's coming out now.
Right.
All misinformation that came from the government, not from the people, right? So now you got all these other sources out there, and the Democrats cannot manipulate ignorant people anymore, because that ignorance that bred that compliance, that allowed those people to conform to do what the government told them to do, is gone. Everybody now is questioning government. Everybody's saying that I don't believe it. Let me go find out from somebody else if this is true or not. And that's what's changing the political dynamic in this country.
Harris has said several times just in the last couple of weeks that her administration is going to be filled with experts, people who know all of these policies and all these new things that they're going to do. But does the American public trust the elites anymore?
No.
Trust experts after what's happened in the past 4 years or so?
I've seen the huge change just locally here. I mean, when I'm out knocking doors, or I was out at the Cochise County Fair, I mean, the number of people that have come up to me and said that they have not been involved in politics before, but because of what's happened in the last 4 years, whether it was the way that the COVID thing was done, or whether the way the economy was manipulated afterwards, and then, of course, opening the floodgates into the country through the borders, and they're furious about that. And they've come and they found all these alternative sources for information. They are not getting it from those sources now. And there's an awakening that's occurring in this country. And I'm glad. It's good. Knowledge is power. Ignorance is bliss. The Democrats relied on blissful, ignorant people for years. And now all of a sudden you have all these different communities of people that have been quiet or maybe not active in politics, or they just didn't vote before. All of a sudden now their worldview is changing because they're getting access to information other than what John Kerry and Hillary Clinton and the Democrat machine has been feeding them.
So let's talk about two things that we, until you brought up immigration a second ago, we really hadn't talked about that. And the word China has never come up either. Talk about how you think immigration and how China is such a big part of this election, but is not really, well, immigration certainly is talked about a lot, but China has not been talked about hardly at all. How important do you think immigration is to Trump and other Republicans winning, and also the threat from China?
Yeah, I mean, the Democrats love to throw Russia, 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 Russia out there, that Putin is manipulating.
They're the junior partner.
Yeah. The Chinese have put so much money and effort into manipulating the political process in the United States, because they realize that a Biden administration redux of Harris is better for them overall because of the weakness that is portrayed, especially with the tariff stuff, right? Trump is talking about tariffs. The Chinese understand that more than anybody. So they are making absolutely sure everything they can do that this concept of tariffs dies right? That it doesn't go forward. If Trump wins, they know they got problems. They know that they either have a choice to make. They either open their markets up like they were supposed to do to American goods and allow competition in China using American products, or they're going to suffer significant tariffs and targeted tariffs. And that's the other thing that Harris is spinning, is the tariff message, trying to sell it as this national sales tax. That's not what Trump said.
Exactly.
Trump is going to target those industries in China that have created this monopoly in China that will not allow America and American products to compete equally in China. He's also going to go after IP reform, where the Chinese have been stealing, literally taking American products, stealing that intellectual property, painting it a different color, slapping a Chinese name on it, and sending it back to the United States for half the price.
Right.
And that's what he's going to put a stop to. And that's why they're scared. And they know that that economic engine that they've relied on is going to come to a screaming halt, especially with intellectual property. I mean, that's the biggest one right there. They steal so much intellectual property from American companies, both military and commercial intellectual property. It's not even funny.
So they call this the sales tax of doom.
Yeah.
The Democrats do. But really, as you said, they want to force China to allow U.S. goods to be sold in China and elsewhere around the world.
Right.
I mean, think about it. American cars.
Which is the nexus of fair trade. Let's have fair trade. But the Chinese don't have fair trade. They saturate our market with low-cost goods subsidized heavily
by the
Chinese government. And then they refuse to allow their markets to be open to American products or other country products.
Right.
Yeah, that's not fair trade.
And just in that period in December and January of 2019, 2020, we had pretty much made great advances in our trade negotiations with China. Yep. And then COVID hit.
Right. Oh, and then the Biden administration was so weak with dealing with violations of international trade policies by the Chinese. They never enforced it. The Chinese just kept taking more and more and more. People understand, again, because we don't teach it like we should be, this country did not have an income tax until the early 1900s. It survived on tariffs. We funded the federal government up until 1918 on tariffs.
Right.
And the Industrial Revolution occurred while we had tariffs. And what was the reason for that? Well, the American government basically put a tax on all goods imported from abroad. That did two things. One, it made sure that those products that were imported were valuable products that you couldn't find anywhere in the United States. And then it encouraged anything else to be built here in the United States. That's why all these factories were built. That's why all these American businesses grew. The J.P. Morgans, right? The Rockefellers.
Carnegie.
The Carnegies, the Fords. All of that was built during a tariff environment where we had tariffs where that was the drive to build an American industry. And that's what Trump is talking about. He's talking about, look, we're gonna get rid of this unfair sort of advantage that these foreign countries and these foreign companies have over America, right? And we're going to basically invigorate the American manufacturing economy. And the way to do that is using a balanced policy of trade and tariffs to encourage bringing those businesses back that have gone offshore, right, to China or Mexico or whatever, and say, look, you're going to make a decision now because you found places where there is no environmental protection. The Dems scream about in the environment. The Chinese don't give a crap about the environment. You know, India.
Or human labor as well.
India, you're looking at India, you're looking at Mexico, and he's saying, look, we're gonna create this level playing field where you either comply with the same business field that the American companies have to comply with, or we're going to put tariffs on your goods. That's all he's saying. You know, so this is going to create an environment where businesses are going to be more inclined now to build their factories in the United States, to hire American workers, and it's going to build up the American economy, and it's going to create jobs here in the U.S. That's what this guy's talking about. The Dems are trying to sell it as a sales tax. It's not a sales tax. It is a broad economic policy to put America first. That's the whole thing Trump is talking about. We have been second fiddle to the world economy and the international financier world.
And the EU.
Like the Soroses and those guys of the world that want to basically crush us financially by allowing this to happen. And Trump's going to put, that's why they're so afraid of him.
So when Trump ran for president in 2016, he promised to bring these offshore companies back home.
Right.
And he did. And he made some tremendous success. He now is talking about these tariffs. Is it possible that we're not going to find that it's going to be a huge source of tax revenue, but it will be a way to effectively rebalance what has been free trade back into fair trade.
Right. Right. I mean, we have a huge trade deficit in this country, huge trade deficit. And if anything, if those tariffs can balance that out to where, let's just say half the goods are created in the United States and half will be imported, that goes back to the mindset again, before, we had the income tax and we had that system in place. Right. That was the whole point of it. I mean, so
is it possible to balance a budget using those tariffs?
Well, I mean, if you think about the result would be, one, you're going to generate revenue from tariffs, and two, you're going to generate economic growth and prosperity, which will generate more taxes here in the U.S. because more taxpayers equals more taxes. And we've seen this when we saw the big tax cuts back when Gingrich came in and the Republicans. Right. You saw this growth in the budget that was the first time in history in a long time where we had a balanced budget with a Democrat president and a Republican Congress. And that's because they grew the tax base. They created more taxpayers, so revenue grew. Even though we cut taxes, revenue into the Treasury went up.
Democrats don't get that.
No, they don't get that. I mean, so that's all Trump's trying to explain to these people is, look, if you can create the economic growth in the United States, you create more jobs means more taxpayers. More taxpayers means more revenue for the federal government. More revenue for the federal government means we can pay down the deficit and get rid of that deficit and get to a balanced budget. That is the goal that we should all be striving for. We cannot continue on this trajectory of spending more than we take in. It's a model like Greece, right? Or Venezuela. It's a failed model. We know it does not work.
If we don't do this, is it possible that we also lose our national defense capability? Because we obviously have a lack of capability defending ourselves against foreign foes.
Yeah.
Whether it be on the seas and in the air space and so on. And that's going to take a lot of money to rebuild, as the president tried to in his first term. Would this also be a way, if he's successful?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have a lot of people that don't like us in this world. I mean, I just look at what happened in Israel. If there was ever an argument for the Second Amendment, what happened in Israel back in October is a prime example of that. But we have an advantage of two big oceans between us and those crazies. But now that we have this influx of immigrants from Mexico, many of which are not Mexican, right? People think it's Mexicans coming across. It's not Mexicans. Right. These are Africans from various African countries, Middle Eastern countries,
Asians,
South America, Chinese. Thousands and thousands of Chinese military age men have come into this country. North Koreans coming into this country. And they're like, oh, we're running for North Korea. But are they? The North Koreans have been notorious for infiltrating with North Korean agents. I mean, they killed that guy in the LA airport. The two girls sprayed him in the face.
Right.
They came into this country and killed a guy with a nerve agent in the United States. I mean, people don't remember this stuff. I remember it, sadly, because, I guess we live in that world and we live it every day. But it's a scary thought that we're not dealing, the federal government has failed to deal with this immigration issue that is opening the door to terrorist activity, similar to what happened, sadly, in Israel, right? You cannot allow this to happen. It's a miracle that we haven't had a major incident occur yet. It's a miracle. It's just astonishing to me with all these people coming in from these countries that do not like us, that have been led into the United States. It's just insane.
So we don't have very much time, and I apologize for doing this at the very end. But talk about your election. Talk about what you would like to accomplish if you're successful in your Board of Supervisors in District 3, Cochise County.
Well, I've been out in Cochise County now almost 10 years. I mean, and I've noticed some things while I've been out there. I've noticed that the population and the economy of Cochise County has been stagnated. I mean, you can go back 30 years at the census data, and you'll see there's been no population growth in Cochise County in 30
years. I lived that owning businesses in Sierra Vista.
None whatsoever. And you also notice there's an unfortunate thing that's occurring is the working age population of Cochise County is getting older. And that tells me, like my son, right? He went to college. He got his training, and he also, where did he go? He went to Mesa. He's working for Empire Cat up in Mesa right now because he couldn't find a job in Cochise County. I mean, so we have allowed what would be, I would say, complacency in our county government to just keep business as usual. Nobody has any vision. Nobody in county government has decided to, let's try to create some new economic growth here. Let's bring in a different mindset. Let's look at incentives to bring businesses into Cochise County. We're right on the border with Pima County. We should be, trying to pull a lot of companies that may not like the tax environment, the regulatory environment, Pima County into Cochise County. But we should also bring new companies that are coming to Arizona into Cochise County and start
building. If they did it in Pinal County, they could certainly do it there.
And we have the I-10 right through the middle of the county. We have the Union Pacific Rail Line right in the middle of the county. We have four airports in Cochise County, right? None of them have been expanded or developed for more, let's say, commercial growth, right? And that's the frustrating. I want to do that. That's what I want to do. And I also want to keep the size of county government in check, because while the population has not grown in Cochise County, the size of county government has doubled in the last 20 years. So we've got to fix that problem. And I'm the guy that I think my experience both in the legislature and in the private sector and in the military and all the aspects and the broad experience on my resume will allow me to tackle that like no other county supervisor has in Cochise County in a long, long time.
Wow. You hopefully have some good colleagues serving with you if they're successful as well.
Sure. And good colleagues that will work with us in the legislature to help Cochise County as well. I'm looking to work with them. And, of course, with Siskamani, I look forward to working with Juan to make sure we create that economic growth in Cochise County as well. And I think Juan is open to doing that. And, of course, the border is a big deal in Cochise County. And it's a county, state, and federal job to keep that border secure. And I look forward to doing what we can at the county level to help secure the border as well.
I'm looking forward to you winning that election and getting back into public service. You're one of our great public servants that we've had in Southern Arizona in many, many a decade.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Bruce. It's been great.
Thanks for joining us here today. Insiders, that's going to do it for today. Check our Facebook and X pages for the latest news and our views on the news. All of our Inside Track episodes are available at Apple Podcasts. Until next Saturday when we return again, this is Bruce Ash and...
Frank Antonori.
Wishing you a very good afternoon. Be sure to join us again in 166 hours.
Hello?
Hey, this is Mike from Perfection Auto Works. How's that car running?
It's great. Thanks so much for getting me in.
Man, I'm glad you're happy. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, this is Mike Emery. Are you satisfied with the work that we did on the car?
It runs great, Mike. I actually enjoy driving again. Thanks for the follow-up call, and thanks for the great work.
Man, you just made my day.
Hello?
Hey, this is Mike Emery. How's that car running?
Man, are you kidding me? It runs like new. Man, you guys do great work.
We love satisfied customers. Thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
At Perfection Auto Works, it's not just about auto and truck repair. It's about the lifelong friendships and satisfied customers we've made for over 35 years. Perfection Auto Works, where we know your name. Home of the free 26-point inspection. Call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Essential pest control leaves bugs belly up with science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate bugs, termites, weeds, and more.
No spray cans and lighters?
None of that. Only solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh. Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit EssentialPest.com.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.